Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
I'm really excited about what God is going to be sharing with us this week and next week. It's a two-part series that I'll be ministering in the evenings only. So you don't come, you lose. Amen. It just is what it is. Amen. The hungry people come at night. The hungry ones, the ones who want more, the ones who are desperate. I remember as a young believer, always being one of those that couldn't wait for the night service. When I used to go to Little Falls back in the day, many years ago, 20 years ago, I used to go and I used to stand in the front on the one side and used to ask God, please, to tell Pastor Harold not to preach, because I just wanted to worship the whole night. Just used to love His presence and just used to enjoy seeing what God would do and seeing what would happen. And the night services really are just so much different to the morning services, because you must understand that God responds to your response. He responds to your response. And so it is, generally speaking, that the night crowd pulls a little harder. The night crowd wants it a little bit more. Amen. Amen. So the title of my message is, We Are Taking It. We are taking it. Joshua 6, verse number 20 says this. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They took the city. How many of you in this place say tonight, I want to take the city for Jesus? Amen. Amen. And so I believe with all of my heart that God is going to do something incredible in the city. How many of you know we need to take the city for the Lord? Amen. And I'm beyond the place, hey, who do you think you are saying you're going to take the city? I really don't care anymore. Amen. Yes, we are going to take the city. Amen. Whoever else wants to take it can take it as well. Amen. But we're going to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, what we need to understand about this story is that we see a young leader who basically replaces a leader that was before him, who was a great leader. How many of you know that Moses was a great leader? Moses was a strong leader. Moses listened to the voice of God. Moses made mistakes, but Moses was a very powerful leader. And so Joshua had to take his place, and I can tell you now that it probably was a little overwhelming, probably a little bit intimidating. But what was so awesome was that the same spirit that was on Moses was on Joshua. And when Joshua took over from Moses, the people responded very powerfully to him taking over. In fact, they were quite happy to follow him. And we know that when he moved into the promised land, that he began to have victory over after victory after victory. He was a successful leader. He was a strong leader. And so it was that the people of Israel would follow him. But also, his reputation also followed him. And the enemies that were against Israel, that were against the Hebrew people, also began to hear about what Joshua and the children of Israel were getting up to. That everywhere they went, they would have victory. Everywhere they went, they would take ground for the kingdom of God. Listen, if God says that that is yours, if God says that promised land, that inheritance belongs to you, listen, nothing can take it away from you. Joshua followed in the footsteps of Moses. So let's take a look at the story of Jericho this evening. And you may have heard this story before. If you haven't, well, you know, go back to Sunday school. Amen. But the reality is it's an old story that we've heard so many times. But I want to show you some keys to how they took the city and how it is in our lives that we also, as a church, desire to take this city for the Lord. But remember that I'm speaking corporately, but also speaking to you individually. In other words, if God has a promise for you, the same principles that apply to taking the city also apply to God's promises for your life. Ed and Ruth, it's so good to see you guys. Such a blessing to see you. Visitors, they're visiting from out of state. They used to be in our church. Wonderful to have you guys. Yeah, blessing to see you guys. Amen. Amen. So I want to share this with you tonight, and I believe that it's very prophetic. It's extremely prophetic. And as I've been going over the last few months, teaching you specifically prophetic principles to walking in what God has for your lives and for you to be able to take the promises of God, some of those things we're going to go over tonight, but I want you to really, you know, you need to cross over tonight. You need to hear with ears that are open and eyes that see. You need to not operate with your carnal flesh, with the mind of this world, your carnal self. You need to open your mind spiritually and hear what it is that God is saying to us. Amen. So let's go to Joshua 6, verse number 1. Now, I want to show you exactly what I was saying about Joshua. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. The Bible says that none went out and none came in. In other words, the reputation of Joshua and the children of Israel had come to Jericho, and they knew what God was doing through these people. So much so that they closed the walls and they securely shut the place, and no one could go in and no one could come out. Listen, sometimes with your promises and sometimes with the things that God has for us, the enemy will do everything in his power to make it look absolutely impossible for you to break through. You may be looking at it with natural eyes, and as you look at the promises of God, you will look at it and you'll be like, there's no way in. There's no way to get breakthrough. There's no way that I can inherit this because it is impossible. And so God will often give you something that is impossible. Listen, for me to make a statement that we are going to take the city for the Lord is a bold statement. It might sound impossible to you, but to me it's not impossible because I recognize and realize that I have gone beyond thinking or believing in my own abilities. If God has done it before, He can do it again. If God can do it somewhere else, He can do it right here. Listen, we think that because of ourselves, or we might not be strong enough, or we might not be good enough, and I got news for you, you're right. You can't. But it's when you get to the place where you recognize that the impossible task that lies ahead of you cannot be overcome in your own strength. But when you trust in God, when you believe the word of the Lord, when you believe what is placed inside you, when you begin to see with eyes that are open and you begin to see what God has placed before you, then you recognize and realize that it's not by might or by power, but it's by His Spirit, and you begin to see and your eyes begin to open. Amen. Now I'm going ahead of myself. Let me slow down. Now we all know the end of the story. The gates, the walls are up and no one can go in and no one can get out. But how is it that Joshua was able to overcome? What are the keys? What are the secrets to Joshua having success and being able to penetrate those walls? In fact, we know the story. The walls come down. Now watch this now, because here are the keys. The first thing, when God speaks, you must listen. When God gives you a word, you need to listen. So many times, God begins to speak to you. God begins to say things to you. He begins to show you things, but you don't pay attention or you don't believe it. Don't overestimate yourself. Don't underestimate the God inside you, though. Oh, well, you know. I said to someone this week on the phone, I said, they were talking about the gifts of the Spirit and the prophetic and all different things. And I said to him, you know, I said, I don't believe my gifts have increased. But what I do believe is I see further than I used to. I'm beginning to see further than I used to. In other words, I'm now starting to look, and I'm not looking at what I can do. I'm looking at what He can do. I'm looking at what He wants to do. I'm believing what I see, and I'm beginning to take it and say, well, maybe I can't do it, but in Christ, through this mortal body that I have, He can do anything. Amen. And I'm beginning to see, and I'm beginning to hear it. Now watch. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. Its king and the mighty men of valor. We need to hear from God. And when we begin to hear from God, He says certain things to us that we always need to pay attention to. It's very powerful that He says, I've given the city to you. I've given its kings and its mighty men of valor. Listen, one of the keys when you are going after a city, and God spoke to me about this a long time ago, and this is for free, this is not really part of the sermon, is when you begin to pursue the city, you need to begin to pray for the leaders. You need to begin to pray for those in authority. So when God says that the king is yours and the mighty men are yours, you will overcome them. In other words, He's saying that I'm giving you authority over the authority in that city. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying God has put you above anybody. No. What I'm saying is that, for example, you know, it wasn't 2 years ago when the Lord spoke to me when I said, Lord, what do we need to do to take the city? And God said to me, begin to pray for your police. Begin to pray for your sheriff's department. Begin to pray for your police department, for your first responders. They are the authorities. They are the ministers in the city. Begin to lift them up and pray. So I got together with the other pastors in the city, and we had a special prayer meeting, and every single Wednesday and Saturday, we pray for those in authority. We pray for our mayor. We pray for those. Why? Because if God encounters them first, there's a shift that'll take place in the spirit. Now, coming back to the story, God says, I have given them to you. I've given the city to you, and I've given those in authority to you as well. But look at what He says, because He says something extremely powerful. He says, see. He says, see, I have given Jericho into your hands. The problem with most of us is we can't see it. We have no vision. We don't see what God is saying. We don't see. You see, God speaks to us in dark speech, in dark saying. He speaks to us in visions and dreams. He doesn't speak to your mind. He speaks to your spirit. The problem with most of us, and I know I've been there, is that we are not able to see what God is saying. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. What has entered into the heart of man. What the things that God has prepared for us. Why? Because it takes a spiritual man to see spiritual things. In other words, when God begins to show you your destiny, when He begins to show you your purpose, when God begins to show you the things that He wants to do in your life, it will physically be sight. I have given you the city, Joshua, but I want you to see it. I want you to see that I have given Jericho into your hands. Don't get upset with me and have a look at the Bible. There's even an exclamation mark right after see. The key to destiny and purpose, when God begins to speak to you about the promises He has for you, is you must begin to see it. If God says you'll be an evangelist, see yourself as an evangelist. If God says you're going to touch people's lives, begin to see yourselves touching people's lives. If God says you're going to be a worship leader, begin to see yourself worshiping. Don't underestimate the gift inside you. most of us, many of us, don't make progress when it comes to the things of God because we cannot see. Amen. That's what separates Joshua to the other people. Now watch this now. Let's go to Numbers 13, verse 31. Now earlier, before Jericho, Moses sent out Joshua, Caleb, and some spies to go and have a look at the promised land. When they came back, we all know the story. When they came back, they give a report of what they found. They give a report, listen to me now, of what they see. Now watch this. Are you all with me now? We've now gone back in time. Amen. We've gone back before they entered the promised land, before they crossed the Jordan. Moses sends out the spies. They go and have a look to see what this promised land looks like. Joshua and Caleb come back with a certain attitude, and the rest of them come back with a certain attitude. Now watch this now. So Numbers 13, verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Why? Because when they went into the promised land, they couldn't see the blessings. They couldn't see the promise. They couldn't see the land flowing with milk and honey. All they saw was these giants. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like," now watch, "we were like grasshoppers in our own sight." What did they see? They saw themselves already defeated. They saw themselves as though they couldn't overcome the enemy that they were facing. In other words, their spiritual sight was not paying attention to what God was busy saying. All they could see was the opposition. All they could see was what was standing in front of them. All they could see was the enemy. Now, the key here is so powerful. Because as you see yourself, so the enemy also sees you. Amen. So watch. "And so we were in their sight." So we see that not only did they see themselves as grasshoppers, but they also know that the enemy saw them also the same way. God has a promise for us. God has a promise for you in your own life. If you begin to see yourself as though you can't achieve or grab a hold of that God has for you, listen, you will not be able to inherit. What God has for you. Let's go a little bit further in the story, or let's go back a little bit. Have a look at the different attitude of Caleb and Joshua. Verse 27, Numbers 13, verse 27. Are you guys okay? It's very quiet in Vero Beach tonight. "Then they told him and said, 'We went into the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there.'" Listen to the different way that they speak. "The Amalekites dwell in the land on the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites. The Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell in the sea and along the banks of the Jordan." Now watch Caleb what he says. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.'" Why? Because he doesn't see what the other spies saw. Listen to me. One of the keys to inheriting the promises of God, one of the keys for us as a church to take what God wants us to do in this city, to take this city for Him, is to surround ourselves with people that see the same way that we see. If you're going to surround yourselves with the people that see you as a grasshopper in the sight of your enemies, then guess what? That same spirit, that same attitude will come upon you. It is vital for us to become a people that walk in unity. It is vital for us to become a people that see the promises of God. It is vital for us to become a people that say we know and we believe and we see that you desire us to have, oh God. The key is to have vision. That vision requires an attitude that always sees and says what God says. If God says, I'm giving you this land, then I say it as well. I do not look or listen to the negative report or that the enemy wants to bring against me. Is that okay? And neither should you. It requires discipline. It requires organization. Remember what I taught you this morning. Priorities. You must prioritize. We must prioritize what is important to God. What is important in our lives. Let's not focus on all the other stuff. Let's not take everybody else's yoke upon us. Let's take His yoke, the plan that He has for us. Listen, Joshua was focused, laser sharp focus. Joshua would hang around with guys like Caleb because Caleb also saw what God was wanting to do. Caleb also believed that God wanted to give them the promised land. Caleb also believed that God could do anything and nothing was impossible. Vision also requires unity. So God gives us vision, but it also requires unity. Because if you become one of those, well, Pastor Alex, I don't know where I get that voice from. I mean, it's kind of funny. Well, you know. Never heard of such a thing, and the church takes the city. The problem is, you don't see what I see. You don't see what I see. What do you mean? Well, listen, I see what He sees. I can close my eyes and I can see it. I can close my eyes and I can see people getting saved. I can see the brokenhearted getting healed. I can see the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. I can see it. I can see the mall being shifted and changed. I can see people's lives transforming. I can see people driving past you and getting touched by the Holy Spirit. I can see it. The question is, do you see it as well? So the first key to the success of taking Jericho for Joshua was that he had sight. He could see. I was having a discussion with someone close to me just recently, and I said to them, you must understand that when God gives you a vision, it doesn't appear to you in the sky. God doesn't work that way. He compares spiritual things with spiritual. It's inside your spirit. I don't see with my mind. I see with my spirit. So my spirit has the ability to see what the Holy Spirit is wanting to show me. I just have the ability to recognize the difference. And that's what we need. You need to be in tune with Him. Because the more you begin to make yourself or get yourself into a place of spirituality, whatever you want to call it, where you actually tune yourself into, you actually hear what God is saying. That's how I prophesy. Sometimes God will point someone out to me. I'll point them out. They'll call them to the front. I have no idea what God's about to say. I just know that's the one. Then when they stand in front of me, I begin to see what God wants to say to that individual. I don't feel it. Well, you do feel it a little bit, but primarily I'm seeing it. I'm seeing the yesteryear. I'm seeing what happened to them before. Then I'm seeing what God is showing me about tomorrow. I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it happen in front of me. And so I begin to speak what I see. But it's not any different to when I have my mind, my eyes closed, and I see pictures, and I see my car, and I see myself sitting at home watching TV, watching the Olympics, whatever it is that I can see. It's no different to that. The only difference is I know it's God. Because it's not here, it's here. So the first key that Joshua had was the ability to see what God was wanting to do. Now watch this. Let's go to verse number 2. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hands, its king, the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. You shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. And the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. Listen, the second key to taking the city or inheriting that God has for you is to listen to his instruction. To listen to his instruction. I don't know about you, but I don't think Jericho was a little city. I think Jericho was a big city. And if it's a big city, to be told to go around the city 6 days in a row was bad enough. Then to get told that on the 7th day, I must do it 7 times. Listen, Joshua, you better be hearing right, brother. A key to inheriting the promises of God is obedience to what he tells us to do. The problem with so many in the church today is that they don't want to listen to his word anymore. They want to do their own things. We want to have it our way. We want to do it our way. We don't want to do what he says. Sometimes what he says might not be exactly what you used to. It might not fit the bill. It might not fit into your box. But he says what he says we need to do. Amen? What he says we must follow. I don't know about you, but oh my word. Now we must have horns and follow the ark and walk around 7 times. And then we must clap our hands and stand on our head. Oh my goodness. It sounds crazy. But something happened. You see, the people began to believe that Joshua was hearing correctly. And so they were obedient to his voice because they knew God was speaking to him. Now, I want to show you the difference when somebody does not listen to what God says. God may say to you, listen, I have a promise. I have a plan for your life. I want to give you the city. All I want you to do is be obedient to the command that I give you. And if you follow my instruction, you will inherit that I have for you. Let's go to 1 Samuel 15, verse number 1. Now we're moving away from the story of Joshua, and we're going to go and take a look at the life of a man by the name of King Saul. So much potential. So much potential. Just like us. A people with potential, where God has given us a vision and a plan and a purpose. What will we do? Will we obey his words? Will we see what he sees? Or will we be like Saul? And let's take a look at what he does. Are you guys okay? All right. 1 Samuel 15, verse number 1. Samuel also said to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the word of the Lord. So now he's saying, listen, Saul, You need to listen to what God is telling you, the instruction that He gives you. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have. And do not spare them, but kill both men and women and infants and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. In other words, God is saying, listen, wipe them out. I want you to go and I want you to wipe them off the planet. I don't want them to exist anymore. Listen, we don't argue with God. We just go. Amen. It's not difficult. It's not a difficult instruction. Let's go to verse number 7. And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. And utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But he spared the king. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling. Everybody say unwilling. To utterly destroy them. Listen. You know, Saul, I don't think you should kill everyone. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, you know, I don't think you should do it like that. You know, Pastor Alex, I really think that, you know, if you did it like this, the people will think you have more love. Listen, love has nothing to do with what took place there. Come on. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, you know, kumbaya. You know, God is not like that. You know, God wouldn't want to kill them all, you know. And surely, you know, those poor guys were fighting the battle. And, you know, maybe they just needed to just have a little bit of the spoils, you know. Maybe just have a little bit of the gold and the nicest sheep because they could eat nicely at night, you know. When God gives an instruction, we need to listen. We need to listen. We need to listen to what He says. And do it His way. Not our way. We need to do it His way. We need to listen to what He says. Not always question everything. Amen. Let's read verse 9 again because it's really powerful. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. In other words, it doesn't matter what God thinks. I'm going to do what I think is best. I'm going to destroy what's worthless. The things of value I'm keeping for myself. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. Listen, he cried out to the Lord all night for Saul's soul, for Saul to be forgiven. He cried out and begged God to let it go. Listen, I've said it a million times and I'm going to say it again. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Listen, every time that Jesus speaks, if you love me, keep my commandments. Listen, it's not hard. It's not difficult. We've moved away from the basics. We want to do it our way. We want to introduce some new doctrine that feels comfortable and feels nice. We don't want to talk about the things that really matter. Listen, if God says this is sin, it's sin. If God says this isn't good, it isn't good. If God says this is not acceptable, it hasn't changed. It's still not acceptable. When did God change? Well, you know, if you preach like that, the church is going to be empty. I don't care. for me and three other people will take the city. Amen. So when Samuel arose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself, and he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Is he crazy? That's how we are today. That's how we are. Well, I'm whatever. And Samuel said, What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, Have they brought them from the Amalekites? For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. Now he's trying to convince him that they did it for God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak on. So Samuel said, When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Obey the voice of the Lord. Obey the voice of the Lord. Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people took of the plunder, sheep and oxen, and the best things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Then Samuel said, Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hear and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. In other words, he has rejected you from inheriting the promise that he gave you. He has rejected you because you chose to disobey. You did not obey. Listen, it might seem a little bit crazy to march around the walls 7 times. It might seem a little crazy to get up in the morning and actually pray like they used to in the days of old. It might seem a little strange to you that we pray in tongues and we prophesy and we lay hands on the sick. It might seem a little bit peculiar, but we choose to do it because our Bible says that these signs will follow those who believe, and we believe, and we believe, and we take a step of faith, and we step out, and we believe and do and say what he says and see what he sees, and we step out. Listen, your giving might not make sense. You might not understand why we minister to the homeless, but we do it because he said we must do it. We step out, we move, we lay hands on the sick, we do what's required, and we don't ask questions. Well, I don't want to walk around the city 6 times. I don't want to go around on the 7th day and do it 7 times. This is strange. I don't want to do it. Disobedience leads to not inheriting the promises of God. Now take a look at Joshua. And the people chose to listen and heed the voice of the Lord. And when they heeded God's voice and they began to do what looked a little bit peculiar, what was the result? The result was that on the 7th day, after they got and they walked around the city, I'm not going to read it to you because we'll be here all night. But once they heeded his voice and listened and did what he told them, They saw it. They believed it. They obeyed what he commanded them. And when we choose to obey, then we have the victory. Listen, you might stand after obeying and not see the victory. But if God says in that moment, shout like you have it, then get up and shout like you have it. Celebrate like God is actually going to give it to you. Amen? Those are two vital keys to inheriting God's promises for your life and for us to be able to do and take the city for Jesus. Listen, it might sound impossible, but it's not. What do we need to do? We need to see what God says concerning our city. Then we need to obey His voice. And when we obey His voice, then He will release what we see to us. Amen. Amen. Verse number 20, Joshua 6, verse number 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpet, and it happened. When the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat, then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They took the city. Why? Because number one, they saw what God was wanting them to see. Number two, they obeyed His voice. They obeyed. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to go further, but we'll go further next week. Is that okay? Amen. Amen. Father, I pray tonight in this place that we will be like that generation. Father, that we will be like that generation that began to see the things you want to show us. Father, that we will see it and dare to believe it. And then, Father, we will obey your word. If your word says that you still heal, then we believe and we'll do it, Father. If your word says that we should obey, we will obey. Father, I pray that we will not be a generation that calls those things that are evil good, but rather that we will be a generation that seeks after your heart. The other stuff will sort themselves out. But when we begin to seek after your heart, Father, and begin to see as you see, then every promise and everything that you desire to give us will surely be ours. Then, Father, let us be like those that will give you their crowns. Let us be like those, Father. For everything you give us, we want to give back to you. Because we are not worthy, but you are worthy. Father, we have come to a place where we recognize that we cannot do it. They write, we cannot do it. They write, we cannot change our city. They write, we can't lay hands on the sick and they recover. But you can. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. Father, we choose to believe what we see. And we see you moving and breathing and having your being and operating and doing that you desire to do. Father, I pray even tonight that you will help us to cross over. That we will cross the Jordan into the promised land. That our eyes will go open in this night. And we will begin to see those things that you want to show us. We love you so much, and there is none like you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.